Bible, friends, is the Word of God, and without God's Word, it's impossible for a person to come to a right, that is, and a saving knowledge of the true and living God. I don't mean a God, but I mean the God. The one that you know exists, and I know exists, that all men know. For the Bible tells me, friends, that there is no such a thing on planet Earth as an atheist. No such a thing exists. You may call yourself such, but of course that doesn't mean that you are such. Many people who would call themselves Christian, but that doesn't mean that they are what they claim to be. God would inform you in His Word that He has made it very plain to you, shown it to you, and that you even clearly understand that God exists. The problem, of course, being that we all of us, as we are naturally born, we have corrupt nature. We have stubborn nature, rebellious natures even, with a bias within us away from God and, of course, towards your sinful corruption. And so for that reason, you suppress, you hold the truth of the knowledge of God, that is, you hold it down, that is, suppress it in unrighteousness, in wickedness. But be assured, friends, God, you know. But of course, in wrath and displeasure, because of unbelief, and of course, the fruit of unbelief, doubtless in your own life, and that of course in the nation, all humanity, the outworking of your unbelief, the fruit of it, is plain for all to see. But God in His loving kindness, in His great mercy and compassion, has given to you His Word, His testimony, His record concerning His Son Jesus Christ, the one in whom is to be found salvation, that is, the way back to God from that suppression of the truth, suppression of the knowledge of God in unrighteousness. So, I offer to you a copy, entirety of the New Testament, offered to you, without charge, cost, or obligation to you, yours to take and read and see for yourself what God the Lord would say to you. Who knows, perhaps you'll get one or two surprises as you read God's Word. For it is not about a religion, as many of you would suppose, just another variety of religion, you would say. Not at all. It is about God's salvation. The Word of God, I mean, from beginning to end, is about a person rather than an instituted religion. First of God's Son, it proved, of course, demonstrated to be so by the power of His resurrection from the dead. It is through faith in His name that a right standing with God, the favor of God, the pleasure of God comes to a man or to a woman. Without Christ, without Jesus, without the Son of God, there is no blessing. Without the Son of God, there is no favor, acceptance by God, only through and in His Son, Jesus Christ. So friends, heed the Word of God as I declare it to you today. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. Thus the Bible reads in the book of Psalms. And of course, it's because there is no fear of God in the nation, no fear of God in the hearts of men and women, that they indulge in and that they engage in such heaven-bearing abominations as you see the world over, and of course abroad in our own nation today. It's a lack of the fear of God. But if you feared God, believe me, you would not think the things you think, you would not say the things you say, and you would not do the things that you do. It is because there is no fear of God before your eye that you do see and think the many things that you do. Things, of course, that, well, the Bible says men ought not to do. For you are made for better things. You are made to fear God, walk in the pleasure of God. But of course, separated, cut off from God as a result of your iniquities, and so therefore God takes no pleasure in such wickedness. Repentance and faith, you see, is required of you, a change of mind, of direction, and of course of belief. That is to believe, that is to trust in God through His Son Jesus Christ. Of course, times of danger and evil days there has always been. And I submit to you that these are dangerous times in which we're living. I mean, who knows when the jihadists will come to the Potteries to Stoke and Trent. Who knows, you know. Many evils at large can stop the world today. Dear friends, these are perilous times, the Bible tells us in the New Testament. Days, of course, of great apostasy in the church and outside of it, throughout your nation. But of course, evil days, the Bible does reveal to us, are coming upon the world in its wickedness. The Bible tells me, friends, that things will not grow better, but evil men will wax worse and worse towards the end of the world's history, when God brings it to a conclusion, that things will be more evil than you could even imagine today. Well, where would you stand and where would you go to find refuge, to find help, to find succor in such an evil day as is coming? And well, it would seem to me is to come upon your own nation because of its apostasy, ungodlessness, and wickedness. So you see, friends, it is as the psalmist here, he says, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. It's to God, you see, the Lord, that you must go in order to find hope, in order to find mercy in any day and generation, to find the refuge, to find the help, and to find hope. Many, many people in your nation today who live without hope. I'm told that the figures, you know, people committing suicide, and especially so young people committing suicide. Well, why would a person engage? Why would a person do such a thing as that? Well, simply and only because they've lost all hope. That's the sum and substance of the matter, is hopelessness, despair. And of course, well, many of your young people in such a state and condition, why? Because they've been left without any hope. They've not been taught the gospel. They've not been presented with the truth of God, the word of God. They've been taught this nonsense evolution, this lie from the pit of hell. It's a doctrine of utter despair. Little wonder people are committing suicide. No hope. Utterly and absolutely hopeless. Well, friends, it's to God that you must go if you're to find hope. Because hope, you see, is the fruit of the gospel. The good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. He died on that cross in order to give men hope. He died on that cross in order that you might know joy, that you might know peace with God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding, and that you might know a hope that doesn't disappoint, a hope not just for this world, but for the world to come. But without God, to be without God, to be godless, is to be, I submit to you, without hope in an evil day or any other day. So who is it that finds such hope? Who is it that finds such mercy? Well, the Bible here says, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him. Those who fear the Lord, those who trust in him, those who hope in the Lord and in his promises, his salvation that he has revealed. And of course, that he has revealed to us in his word, the Bible. There's nowhere else to go to find God's word in these days. In the scriptures, in the Holy Bible, it's called such because it comes from a holy God. A holy God who hates sin, who hates evildoers, but he takes pleasure in those who put their trust in him through his Son, Jesus Christ. So that's the pathway. That's the way to find hope, to find refuge in a time of trouble, whatever your circumstances might be. The fear of the Lord. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear the Lord. So what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is to have an awe and a dread of his majesty, to have a profound reverence for his greatness. For he is the true and living God, the maker of heaven and earth. These are things that you must know before you die, before you leave this world without hope. That he is an awesome, that he is a sin-hating God, that he is holy. And it does well with you, you know, to walk in awe, to walk in dread of his majesty, to have a deep reverence for his greatness. He's the one who merely spoke and brought the universe into being. This nonsense of evolution does not have one shred of justification for it. It is not scientific, it is not sensible, and there is no justification for it, none whatsoever. Of course, you may subscribe to it. You may tell me that you believe in evolution. You believe it to be true, but you still cannot justify it. I challenge you, any one of you, to debate with me, argue with me if you will, and give me a justification, give me a proof that evolution is justifiable. It's not, friends, and you don't believe it either. You have a moral standard, do you not? Where do you get your moral standard from, I ask you? You don't get it from evolution. I mean murder and mayhem. I mean the chaos. I mean all the killing and slaughtering. You complain about it, you say it's wrong. And then of course, all the sexual violence that goes on in your nation, you say that's wrong. Well, pray tell me, where did you get that standard from? Is that not just survival of the fittest? Isn't that just simply what you say that you believe? But of course you don't really believe. You don't really believe. You have a conscience, you see. You are with knowledge of what's right and wrong. And friends, you're clinging to that moral standard. You have that moral standard because it's given to you by the God who made you, who made heaven and earth, who made everything in it, who made you for his own glory, who made you in order that you might fear him and walk with him. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him. Friends, you ought to walk in the fear of the Lord. You ought to have a profound reverence for His greatness. But it's those, you see, who walk in the fear of the Lord. It's those that the Lord takes pleasure in. But those who do not fear Him, He has no pleasure in them whatsoever. You ought to walk in the fear of the Lord because He has unlimited authority and power over you and over the entire universe. He commands and He disposes as He pleases. Your very next breath is in the palm of His hands. You're His to do it as He pleases. He could take your life from you this very day. He could take the breath from you in a nanosecond. A million ways in which God could remove the youngest, the fittest, and the strongest from you from this planet. What if God were to require your soul this very night? If He were to take you out of this world, death would take you into His presence, into the presence of a sin-hating and holy God. Ah, dear friends, you ought to walk in the fear of the Lord. You're His to dispose. You're His to command as He pleases. You need to learn these things before you breathe your last, before you go out of this world. He's not only your creator, but He's your lawgiver. He makes demands of you. He's given you His commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not bear false witness. All these God commands you, for He has a right to command you, a sovereign right to command you. He has control over your entire being. And before you breathe your last, before you go out of this world as a lawbreaker, a covenant breaker, you must need repent and believe the gospel in order to have your sins forgiven, that you might be washed and made clean, and that you might know the Lord's pleasure, God's favor, as it were, His grace, His kindness and mercy in bringing salvation to your soul. But you ought, you see, to walk in the fear of the Lord, for the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him. But He has no pleasure in those who do not fear Him. You ought to have a fear of offending Him. And of course, there are many, many ways in which you could be tempted to offend God. The world, with all it offers to you, the God of this age, Satan, who blinds the minds of men and women to the reality of God, the reality of His Son, and of course, importantly, the reality of your sin and your need of God's forgiveness, your need of His mercy, your need to hope in His mercy. For His mercy, believe me, you need it. For we are lawbreakers, every single one of us, commandment breakers. You've trashed the law of God underfoot. You've trampled His commandments underfoot. What will God do to such a people as do not fear Him, who think nothing of His commandments, but simply cast them aside and say, we will not have this God to reign over us? If you do not learn to walk in the fear of God, if you do not learn the commandments of God and learn to walk in them, if you do not, friends, put your hope and your trust in God through His Son, Jesus Christ, you can be no pleasure to God, none whatsoever. The Lord taketh pleasure, you see, in those who put their hope, their trust in Him, those who fear God and fear offending Him. But friends, the truth of the matter is, you are as you are just now. In your natural state, you're an offense to God, the entirety of your being. No, not just what you do, not just what you say and think, that's offensive enough to God. Your entire nature is an offense to God. For you're born, says God. You're conceived in sin. You come from your mother's womb, shaping in iniquity, in rebellion against God, against the Most High. How can He have pleasure in you who are still in your nature? Natural born state and condition. A sinful nature. That's why Jesus says you must be born again. Because except a man be born again, unless he's born again, God can have no pleasure in you. Your nature is abhorrent to God. Your nature's an offense to God. Friends, your very nature, your very being, unless you're born again. But friends, it's from that fallen nature, it's from that nature which is an offense to God, comes forth your offensive words, your offensive thoughts, the very thoughts of your heart, you see. God knows them all, the sum of them, and they're an offense to Him. He takes no pleasure in them. And of course, well, your words and your deeds likewise, everything about you, you see, and all that you do and say and think is offensive, is sinful in the eyes of God. So unless that nature is changed, unless you're born again, unless God causes you to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ, you remain as you are, a displeasure to God. But the Lord taketh fear, taketh pleasure in those and them that fear His name. You ought to walk in fear of your offensiveness, your offending God, you see. And then there's the practical atheism, you know, the outworking of what you call atheism. You know, you're turning to, in a day of trouble, a time of trouble, turning to and looking to others than God. His commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, when you put your trust in others, when you put your trust in the state, the benefit system, when you put your trust and your hopes in man, cease from man, says God. Put not your trust in princes and rulers. You may have a change of government come June, but then again, maybe you won't. But whatever form of government you have come June the 8th, friends, the government, the state can't save you. State can't give you eternal life. State can't remove your sins. The government can't do the things for you that God can do. And then, of course, another abomination, offense to God, is the heathen religion that you've brought into your nation, into your land. And, of course, it swamps your nation now. Some places in your country where you dare not go because it's been taken over by heathen religion. Such is an abomination to God. All idolatrous religion, everything, all religion that's contrary to God and to His word is an offense to God. And such as fear God, such as walk in the fear of the Lord, you see, would not engage or embrace or even think about going to and looking for help to such idolatrous religion. That includes Rome's variety, Mecca's variety, and every other sect and cult known to you, your Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and all the like. It's Bible religion that God requires of you. In the fear of the Lord, those who walk in the fear of the Lord and who have the pleasure of the Lord would not countenance such idolatrous religion. So it's to God, it's to me, says God, that you must look and no other. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment, that you should love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And if you haven't done that all of your days, every day, every hour of every day, and every moment of every day, then that makes you a lawbreaker. that makes you a sinner. That makes you an offense to God. So I call upon you today to repent. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent of your wickedness. Repent of your unbelief. Repent of your lack of fear before God. Tremble at His name. Fear His word, His commandment, and turn to Him for salvation. Put your hope in God through Jesus Christ, and He will show mercy to you, pardon your sins, and grant to you, in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, eternal life. The hope of mercy, you see, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, and those that hope in His mercy. That's the place to look, that's the place to go, to God Himself, to hope in His mercy. For He is merciful, He is kind to those who do repent, those who do believe the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. He is gracious and bountiful. He delights in mercy. That's why He gave us the gospel, the good news. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish in their hopelessness, in their lack of fear of God. That they should not perish in such an offensive staying condition as they are to God. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But this is the condemnation, that you have not believed in the name of God's only begotten Son. Here you are today, you see, and God has no pleasure in you. For you have not trusted in Him. He's given you His gospel. He's given you His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. But it's a no thing to you. Nothing to you who pass by, that the Son of God should come and live and love and die and rise again from the dead, in order that you might know the pleasure of God, the fear of God, to walk in it and know the mercy that God has provided for sinners such as you and I. He pardons the unrighteousness, the hope of God's mercy. You see, He pardons all your unrighteousnesses through Jesus Christ, you see. It's the purest, the very gospel. The reason why Christ came. Christ Jesus, the Bible informs us, He came into the world to save sinners. To save you from all your unrighteousnesses, all your sins. Come now, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. However long you've been walking without the fear of the Lord, whatever heaven-daring abominations you've been doing, whatever darkness, whatever danger, whatever dirtiness, uncleanness you've been walking in, however offensive your sins might be to Almighty God, He is willing, for the sake of His Son, Jesus Christ, to pardon all your unrighteousness, all your sins to be blotted out for His name's sake. But God alone can do such. Through His Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Only through the gospel. Only through the gospel is there the hope of mercy. For deep-dyed sinners such as you, entrenched in your unbelief and with no fear of God, and God has no pleasure in you, but the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, that fear God. Those, that is, who hope in His mercy through the gospel, through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And such, of course, are granted protection from evil. See, here's the problem when you subscribe to this foolish notion, and God says it is a foolish notion. The fool says in his heart there is no God. Oh, you might be smart, you might be clever, but in God's estimation, you're yet a fool, perverse, corrupt in your nature, that is. And of course, in your belief, in your practice, when you say that there is no God, but when you subscribe to such a foolish notion, you open yourself up to all kinds of evil, the powers of darkness, the god of this age, Satan the devil, who blinds the minds of men and women. Blinded to a man, to a woman, blinded in your mind. And of course, no sight of God, no sight of His mercy, no sight of His hope, no sight of His kindness, His grace, His bountiful pleasure that He would have in you. Should you, that is, repent and believe the gospel, the good news concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. But you have no protection from such evil, such wicked forces of darkness that are arrayed against your soul. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, says Jesus, and lose his soul? The devil, you see, he's Satan, who has blinded your mind. He would have you to perish in eternal flames along with yourself. He would have you see, in eternal darkness forever like Himself. But God would have you to be saved through His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, you to return, repent, and believe the gospel. That's the only hope. It's the only hope of the world. It's the only hope of the nation. It's the only hope of anyone. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear His name, that fear God, you see. And those, that is, through hope in His mercy, which is presented to you in the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ. The promise of eternal life, you see. Hope, you see, not just for this world. Here you are, many of you, most of you, I dare say, 99.9% of you, under the sound of my voice this afternoon, and you've no hope for this world, never mind the world to come. But friends, there's hope, the hope of eternal life in the mercy of God, in the gospel of God, the promise that comes from the God who does not lie, who cannot lie. He promises eternal life, you see, to faith in Jesus, faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, to all who believe. Those who believe, you see, have everlasting life. But those who do not believe, reject the Son of God, the wrath of God, the displeasure of God remains, abides upon them. So I call upon you to repent of your unbelief, to turn from your wickedness, to turn from your darkness, to turn from your offensive nature, your offensive words and practice, everything about you that's offensive to God, because you do not fear Him, fear His name. Turn, repent, and believe the gospel, and receive the eternal life that's promised in the gospel to those friends who believe. This world is passing. This world's not going to go on forever. God reveals to us in His Word, there's a time coming when it will be dissolved in fervent heat. This world order, as we know it's coming to an end. And God is going to usher in a new heaven and a new earth in which will dwell only righteousness. Those, that is, who have feared God, walked in the fear of the Lord, those who have repented of their sin, their lawless deeds, their unrighteousness, and believed on His Son Jesus Christ, and received eternal life, they have hope, you see. They hope in the mercy of God. Hope, you see, not just for this world, but for the world to come. Dying time is coming to you. And it's coming to you all. For it is appointed unto men once to die. It's a divine appointment. Therefore you cannot cancel it, postpone it. You cannot defer it, not for 1 hour or 1 moment. When God calls, I tell you, you will come. You may be a king or just a street preacher, but everybody faces the grim reaper. No, your soul will be taken, You will come out of this world. Your sins will take you out of this world and take you to a place, believe me, you do not want to go. And all because you do not fear God, and because you do not hope, you do not trust in His mercy, in the gospel provided for you. God has made provision for you, sinners, wicked sinners, offensive to God. God has made provision for you, that He might be able to take pleasure in you, that you might be cleansed of your unrighteousnesses, that you might be given hope and joy and peace, that God may take pleasure in you after all. Precious, precious grace. You see, it comes from the free grace of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life, eternal life, through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you here this afternoon. You see, dear friends, it's not of merit, not of your works, nothing that you can do to change your state and sin and your circumstances as being offensive to God. No, friends, it is only by the grace of God that such a change can come about. Freely given, freely presented to you in the gospel. You see, the work has been done. Christ has done the work. Not your work, not your religiosity or the lack of it, your respectability or morality. For God makes it clear that no flesh, no man or woman, will ever be justified in His sight by their own works. You know? For anything and everything that you offer to God is an offense to God because of your sin nature and your sin practice. There must needs be a change, cataclysmic change, a huge, a massive change, a mega change in the very depths of your being. Born again, you see, born again to eternal life. Born again, you see, by the Spirit of God, you see, and received by God on the basis of what Christ has done. What Jesus Christ has accomplished, what He has done, not what you do or may or can do. No, friends, Jesus has done it all. He died, the Son of God. He died on the cross. You see, no blood in your religion, you've got no forgiveness. The prophet Moses, he said that without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission, no forgiveness of sin. But you see, God Himself has provided the blood sacrifice, His own Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Only He can take your sin away. Only He, you see, can bring the mercy, the kindness, and the grace of God to you. Freely, freely offered to you, you see, in the gospel. The Lord takes pleasure. He taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, that fear His name. But friends, He has no pleasure at all in your not fearing God, not hoping, not trusting in His mercy through His Son, Jesus Christ. So the pleasure that God takes, you see, in those that fear Him, well, He approves of such, you see. His countenance, you see, is towards them. He smiles upon them. Those who fear God, those who trust Him, those who tremble at His name, those who are afraid to offend Him and to break His commandments. He is a help to those, a very present help, even in the time of trouble with God. He is a refuge, He is a fortress to such. He is a shield, you see, and able to shield you from evil and all that could cause you harm. Oh, they might kill you, but they can't harm you. Not when you've got eternal life in your soul. Not when you fear God. Not when you walk in His commandments. Not when you trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. They cannot touch you. You're untouchable if you belong to God. You're untouchable if you're His. But if you're not God's, if you're without God, if you're godless, then friends, you have no help, you have no shield, none at all, no protection, no approval from God. But those who fear Him, oh, He approves of such, and He accepts such. He accepts such in His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. But friends, you can only be acceptable to God. You cannot be acceptable to God any other way but in Jesus Christ. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ, but those who are out of Jesus Christ. If you are not in Christ and Christ is not in you, then you have no acceptance with God, none whatsoever. Oh, you may be religious and respectable, and very much so. You can be all these things, but friends, you have no acceptance with God whatsoever, but by His Son, Jesus Christ. He will not look upon you. You have no blessings. His promises are ineffective to you without faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Even though you may have many imperfections, and no Christian on this planet ever declared themselves to be perfect.
He's got no bear, he's comfortable, he's got nowhere to live.
Yeah.
And he looks, he's crippled, he's sick, he's been in a fight or something.
I know, don't worry dear, don't worry, don't carry worry. On. So like you say, friends, you know, it's only through Christ, it's only through the Son of God, that a man and a woman can be accepted with God, accepted in His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, in spite of their many perfections. We don't claim to be perfect, we don't claim to be faultless, simply and only forgiven. Forgiven. It's the heart of the gospel, friends. Forgiveness. All your unrighteousness, says all your sins, all your iniquities can be blotted out for His name's sake. But if you do not fear His name, if you do not walk in the fear of God, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, that fear God, in those that hope in His mercy. He accepts such. He abounds in grace towards such. He satisfies them with the bread of life and with the water of life. Here you are. It matters not what you get, what you have. You're never satisfied. One man, I do believe. I eat there. Right? See, friends, you know, you're never satisfied. One of the richest men in the world, he was asked the question, how much is enough? And he said, never. Always, he says, a little bit more. Always a little bit more. You're never satisfied, because there's nothing in this world, there's nothing in all God's creation that can bring satisfaction to the human soul. It matters not what you get. You get a new phone, a new computer, a new house, a new car. You know, the minute you've got it, are you satisfied? You say, I've got enough? No, you want something else, because you're always craving, lusting after something more. Never satisfied, only the bread of life. Only the bread that came down from heaven, Jesus Christ Himself, He is the bread of life. He alone can satisfy your deepest longing. But to the man, the woman that fears God.
Amen.
Amen. The man, the woman that fears God, that fears His name, that hopes in His mercy, He satisfies with bread, with the water of life, the water that I shall give you, says Jesus. You shall never thirst again. You go to your alehouses, never enough, till you're bladdered, till you can't talk properly, till you can't stand up. You get bladdered out of your minds, drunken and foolish and cursing and more and more sins added to your catalogue, your list. And friends, you got to go back the next day for a hair of the dog that bit you, as you say. You got to go back the next day for more. Thirsting, thirsting, thirsting. Your thirst is never quenched. The water that I shall give you shall be in you a well of water springing up to everlasting life. For thus that is that hope in the mercy of God through the gospel, the good news concerning His Son Jesus Christ. Gospel blessings come in the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No gospel blessings without Him. Neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven given amongst men by which you must be saved. Name of Jesus, Son of God, who came into the world to rescue sinners such as you. One way, friends, one way only, one gospel, no other. Jesus Christ, the only God, the only true God, and Savior of sinners. Those that is who fear His name and who hope in His mercy. These are the fruits of the gospel. These are the fruits that Jesus Christ purchased for sinners. Those who hope in His mercy. Hope, friend. Hope that doth not disappoint. Joy. I came that they might have joy abundantly, more abundantly. Life eternal. Love everlasting, liberty, freedom, and the Son shall make you free. You shall be free indeed from the bondage of sin, the rule of sin in your heart and life, the guilt that lies upon you. Freedom, freedom in Christ and in Christ alone. And light, light for your darkness. Light, arise, awake, and go to Christ, and He will give you light, liberty, love. Oh, dear friends, for those who fear God, those who repent and believe the gospel, for that is the command. The first words recorded of Jesus in the New Testament. And a command in that, friend. Repent ye and believe the gospel. All of you, that is. For God now commands all men to repent and to believe the gospel and to walk in the fear of God. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, who hope in His mercy. So I call upon you, command of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and that's the only road you can enter it, in the way of repentance and faith, towards the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save, to rescue such as you, that you might repent and believe. And be saved. So repent ye and believe the gospel. Newcastle today, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. You would like to have a copy.